and welcome to KPMG US's discussion on the intersection of healthcare and private equity. It's great to have you listening. I'm Asha Tanki, a manager with our corporate comms team, and I'm joined today by Glenn Mincy, KPMG's global and US private equity leader, and Ash Shahada, KPMG's national sector leader for healthcare and life sciences. Today, we'll be diving into changes in the deal market and what it means for HCLS transactions. We've also got the HIMSS Global Health Conference and Exhibition beginning on April 17th in Chicago, and we'll preview what's coming up there as well. But before we get to that, I want to remind everyone that they can ask questions by tapping the microphone button or direct messaging us at KPMGUS_news to request to speak. We will be stopping during the conversation to see if there are any questions, and we certainly welcome your participation today. This is being recorded, a replay will be available, and for those who are listening in that are part of the media, this is an on-the-record conversation. You can leverage any of what's discussed today for your reporting, and so truly, we welcome and encourage any questions you might have on what's discussed here today. So with that, let's get started. With the first quarter of the year over and all eyes back on the Fed and what's happening with interest rates, the landscape is shifting. Ash, I know we released our investment outlook at the beginning of the year, but with a lot changing in a little time, what stands out to you when it comes to deal market trends today?
Well, thank you, Asha. And it's a pleasure to be on with my colleague, Glenn. And we're excited about really addressing some of the opportunities we're seeing now. I think three things have happened since we issued our initial guidance. The first one is we're getting much more confidence that the Fed will likely, ease their interest rate increases starting in the next, session or two. As you all know, that puts a kind of a very positive, mood in the environment. We're seeing corporates, start to prepare for potential deals. And then B, we're starting to see those who actually have well-capitalized infrastructure, look for potential partners. So I think, before even the Feds are making their final moves, people are taking action. I do think the other two trends, just to note, we are still seeing, strength in areas that we've talked about early on, like provider acquisitions. And certainly we are continuing to see, opportunities rise where payers are going to that market and continue to make acquisitions. And the third area, which I think is still a little bit under stress is the tech sector around health tech. But, again, the expectation is as the Feds ease their rate pressure, we'll likely see that likely by the end of the year.
That's great. And Glenn, I want to leave some space for you to layer in some of those private equity thoughts.
Thanks, Asha. I agree. I agree with the points that Ash made. And if you just look back, healthcare deal flow in 22 certainly had eased from the highs of 2021, right? PitchBook had estimated around 860 deals for 22, which was off from the over 1,000 deals in 21, but it was still higher even than the steady upward march of each year from 2017 up to 2021. And keep in mind that 22 was still the second best year on record for healthcare deals. So as Ash mentioned, much of that, much of the decline was due to the larger macroeconomic uncertainty and constraints on access to capital that we're all experiencing in the PE industry. And if you fast forward to this first quarter, what you were alluding to, Asha, the global M&A still showed a fairly bleak picture for Q1 23, with volumes at almost half of what they were in Q1 of 2022. And that's mostly in consumer and retail and TMT. But the bright spot really was healthcare and life sciences, where deal activity totaled around $70 billion, which was up 150% from Q1 of 22. So I do think that, the outlook is pretty favorable, particularly in healthcare life sciences that we're talking about today. And overall, I'd say we always talk about PE dry powder. PE dry powder is still plentiful, and the sell side pipeline is still, they're still interested. But the challenge is going to be in the near future and the far future, frankly, it's going to be aligning buyer and seller pricing expectations. And the dam seems to be leaking a little bit on that price matching. And I know we're going to get, I know, Asha, you're going to get into specifics later, but the demand trend seems to be heading towards behavioral health and home health care, you know, which is frankly a good thing in my mind, that, you know, we should all be focusing on preventive care rather than chronic care. And again, we're talking about all these headwinds, and these inflationary and macroeconomic headwinds could be a tailwind for the PE industry, which really prides itself on efficiency and innovation.
Thanks, Glenn. That's a really helpful landscape. And I'm thinking about, I know our investment outlook from the beginning of the year, a lot has changed since then, but I'm even thinking, Ash, about, you know, the coinage of the term smart optimism and what that means for looking forwards with healthcare and life sciences deals. Would definitely love to hear more from you on those, you know, takeaways and how they kind of, how they're really layering into the new landscape we're seeing in front of us.
Well, I think the you know, the term smart optimism is really kind of buoyed by the industry itself. When we look at, you know, the continued advancements in biotech, cell and gene therapies, certainly, you know, what we're seeing in even in the tech space as we're looking at some amazing launches. I mean, a lot's been written about these blockbuster diabetes drugs, which are also, you know, pretty phenomenal weight loss drugs. So, you know, that optimism really comes from, you know, what the industry's doing. Plus, demographically, you know, Glenn really, you know, nailed it. We are starting to see a refocus on health and wellness, and that is one of the outcomes of kind of the post-pandemic period. A focus on behavioral and home health is certainly kind of clearly there. And then the other thing, what we're really optimistic about is the combination of technology and this, you know, emerging trend of growth. So, you know, I don't know if you saw there, you know, recently you're seeing organizations that are beginning to combine technologies and fulfillment of drugs and therapies for massive growth. So I think that optimism is really a combination of hopefully the easing in the market, which we're preparing for, but more importantly, the demographic trends and the amazing output of R&D that we're seeing in this industry.
Glenn, I see you unmuted. So before I keep us moving, definitely want to leave the space for you as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I wanted to piggyback off of Ash's comment about behavioral health. We do see that as a really key area that PE is going to focus in on. And you know, and think about it. When you think about PE and healthcare, there's always the knee-jerk reaction is, you know, drive for scale and consolidation. And that's a field where PE operates very effectively. But the specific areas that PE is really looking at is, you know, one of them being behavioral healthcare and healthcare IT and telehealth. All of those were points that Ash mentioned. And this point about behavioral health, the reason, or one of the reasons, one of the drivers is this, you know, this mindset shift from health systems as primary care, you know, fee for service, to value-based care systems, which is something that Ash was alluding to. And it's a real focus on patient outcomes and viewing healthcare holistically. So the concept of integrating primary healthcare with behavioral healthcare, that's an emerging theme that makes perfect sense, right? So behavioral health deal activity, we're certainly seeing that heat up, and we think that'll heat up this year. And keep in mind the tangential effect of that. It'll put pressure on the supply of behavioral healthcare talent, which raises the overall issue of staffing. Staffing cost inflation, it plagues all of healthcare services businesses, not just behavioral healthcare talent. I don't think operators, Ash could probably speak more to this, but I don't think operators see a material change in labor costs coming for the next 2 years. And some of that is exacerbated by how the growth in revenues in healthcare hasn't really matched the growth in staff earnings and lower skilled roles. But there's also this issue of burnout that we saw over the past 3 years. The great resignation, it's particularly acute in the healthcare industry. In a field, and they're disproportionately feeling burnout, and there's also an aging physician population. So platforms that sidestep or solve that staffing issue, they're going to see heightened interest as well. And last thing I'd say about, you know, PE in this area, supply shortages and customer acquisition costs, those are areas that are the bread and butter of private equity. And I think that you'll see quite a bit of innovation and efficiency in that direction.
Absolutely. And kind of thinking about that, and I feel like we've touched a bit on these different growth opportunities or these different hurdles that are facing healthcare and life sciences companies at this time. I'm curious, maybe we can distill those down for our listeners, you know, where the market is now, but also where that room for growth is and what it might really tangibly look like as we kind of think about those deal market trends coming up.
Yeah, maybe Asha, just some thoughts on that. I think as kind of Glenn laid it out, we are really, really excited about, you know, when you look at the kind of the repatterning of the healthcare industry, it is really going to be driven by kind of three factors. Number one is I'll call it the effects of the settling in of the labor shortage. The second one is going to be the compression of margins on the healthcare delivery system. And then the third one is the continued pressure on reimbursement rates, which we're likely going to see both at the federal and state and, of course, commercial insurance levels. Those three things are kind of the perfect storm to drive us to innovate, drive us to look for more advanced uses and of technology and even new uses of capabilities like AI that are certainly being discussed in so many sectors these days. And I think more importantly, the ability to kind of reinvent the system from a system that's based on hospitals and sick care to one that's based on wellness and accessing resources in the community and health and wellness and social determinants of health. So to me, that is when we talk about optimism, that is the optimism, but it's also born out of necessity. And I think that's really what's being set up right now in the second half of this year.
Yeah, and Asha, do you mind if I just jump in?
Please, yeah.
Asha mentioned those three areas. Two of them, you know, the settling in of the labor shortage and margins, a big answer to that would be efficiency and innovation. And if we talk about private equity and telehealth, not only telehealth, but healthcare IT, those are two areas that they're really, really leaning in. The issue of telehealth, our knee-jerk thought is one-on-one virtual services, right? But also consider in this day and age, particularly in the area of behavioral health, group therapy sessions. You know, pre-COVID, that would have been unimaginable, I would suspect. But now there's, you know, with telehealth innovations and health tech innovations, that becomes easier. The other point was healthcare IT. You know, companies that are providing essential digital infrastructure and efficiency, they're going to continue to see rapid growth. And that goes hand in hand with my comment that, you know, these macro headwinds could be tailwinds for private equity. The healthcare IT point is, you know, we automatically think about with health tech, we automatically think about telemedicine, telehealth, remote patient monitoring. But you know, not only for private equity, but for the whole sector, it's really wide ranging that, you know, includes the use of data and analytics, AI, AI for drug discovery and development, and, you know, the opportunities in patient care. Or beyond patient care for record management and payments, and, you know, frankly, the overall customer experience. And by customer, I mean, you know, the patient, not the insurance providers. So it's not just core technologies, but the additional technologies that could enable patient access, enrollment, registration. That's those are areas that private equity really can excel in.
For sure. And I want to dive into that a little bit further, but I just know that since we're right about at the halfway point, and I know many more folks have joined us since we began, I just want to give a reminder that folks can ask questions by tapping the microphone button or DMing us at @KPMGUS_news to request to speak. This is being recorded and a replay will be available. But as a reminder for those who are in the media, if you're here now, this is an on the record conversation. You can leverage anything we've discussed today for your reporting, and we truly welcome and encourage any questions you might have on what we're discussing. So we'll continue to keep an eye out for any of those unmutes or, you know, the equivalent of the raised hand. But until then, I do want to return to that point we were just discussing about metaverse, AI, you know, the ways that we're seeing the digital transformation in this modernization of healthcare capabilities. And I'm interested in both of your thoughts on what this means for deal volume, you know, what we're starting to see, how we're seeing this line up against those economic trends as well, with that patient-centric model really at the center of this transformation.
Yeah, I can cover a little bit, Asha, on it. I mean, it was interesting. The this year, we had two kind of big conferences. We were able to host a great conference in Florida with KPMG and the community in Lake Nona there earlier this year. And then we also, a few weeks after that, joined in at South by Southwest. And there was so much energy this year around the prospect of healthcare and life sciences going beyond the traditional technology stack and really leveraging, you know, these amazing new capabilities. You know, one of them clearly was AI. We also talked a lot about, you know, the way, you know, video and using video in a much more pervasive way can potentially, you know, expand the healthcare access points. And then the other one was, you know, using infrastructure in the United States around, you know, 5G. So I think all of those forces now are starting to kind of line up, and it ended up being a pretty remarkable, you know, event. This is, I think, the first time we've seen that kind of, you know, healthcare and life sciences participation in those events. And private equity certainly was well engaged. And I do think it is going to be the lining up of these forces all kind of coming down, you know, at the same time saying, you know, we're going to make a difference here. We're going to make these investments. And even large corporates were starting to kind of show up saying, you know what, we're going to move our innovation engines and prepare to accelerate some of the, you know, commercial viability of the things we're doing. So I think all of these things are lining up right now, even though the day-to-day activity is all about rates. I think if we look 6 months down the road, we need to kind of plan for our market entrance.
Yeah, Asha, and I'll pile on to Ash's comments about the conference that we had at Lake Nona. It was fascinating, really. Healthcare experts from around the world came together to discuss the issues of the day and the future of the industry, frankly. Let's talk about AI first, because that was your main question, Asha. And what really struck me is that the use of AI in healthcare, it will certainly be transformational. Right now, you know, I think we're in the tool age of learning how to use AI. But what strikes me is the ability of AI to automate the mundane, right? You still need a human being to oversee judgment on patient care. I think all of us know that AI isn't really good at nuance. And when AI has the propensity to believe it's absolutely correct on a decision, and it'll recommend a solution, which is why when it's wrong, it can be catastrophically wrong. But what it could do is it could, as I said, automate the mundane. It could take notes during a patient consultation, you know, recommend follow-up, facilitate communication. And those are things that, frankly, occupy such a significant chunk of every professional's day, not just in healthcare, but in all professional services. And if you can make a healthcare professional more efficient with his or her time, they'll become much, much more effective. Another thing that's a little off topic, but it really resonated with me during this conference, and it's one of the concepts that stuck in my head. It's that we have a healthcare system that pays no attention to food, right? And a food system that pays no attention to healthcare. And so someone is going to crack the code on the medical value of nutrition and innovations in food production, which, as we know, they're not made with an eye to health. They're made with an eye to faster, better, and cheaper food products. And I think that, you know, that was a big topic at this conference. And I think that really resonated with me, but it really defines some of the future of healthcare.
Absolutely. And I think maybe jumping from conference to conference, knowing that HIMSS, HIMSS is coming up next week or beginning April 17th in Chicago. And knowing that it's, you know, centered on healthcare and technology, that there's going to be a lot of discussion right at this intersection that we're here kind of discussing today, I'm definitely curious to transition to some of y'all's previews on what we can expect to see discussed, where folks should be paying attention, exciting bits of that conversation that you're also looking forward to hearing.
Well, absolutely, Asha. You know, I think HIMSS is going to be certainly a welcome, reintroduction to the calendar here. As you know, we've had a variety of challenges in the health systems today. I do think we're going to kind of center around three key themes this year. The first one is going to be what I call, you know, the oldies but goodies, continuing to modernize the electronic health record infrastructure and finance and accounting and HR and procurement systems. So I think there's clearly going to be a continued focus on that. The second area is going to be, you know, continue to move capabilities and systems to the cloud. And that's going to be including some of the newer capabilities we're talking about. So, you know, really expanding the use of the healthcare cloud, securing the healthcare cloud, and creating an interoperable environment. That's one thing that HIMSS has always been very involved in, is showing how interoperability can be a key to success. And then the third area that I think we're going to see more and more of is what I call some of the advanced technologies, the things that, you know, Glenn's been talking about, the things about introducing, you know, advanced telehealth services, creating new lines of business, maybe even moving towards the metaverse, enabling 5G interoperability, not only on medical campuses, but in communities. Those are the things that I'll call that advanced set of capabilities. Now, my hope for HIMSS is that the latter two topics, I hope that becomes the majority of the show, rather than the kind of the traditional, you know, bread and butter infrastructure and modernization. But we'll see. I think it's all going to be based on the tenor. And I think more importantly, participants are coming this year with a very specific objective, which is how do I implement technology with a very tangible ROI to address some of the staffing and labor and inefficiencies that the health systems have to face. So I'm excited about it. And I think we're really looking forward to welcoming a great community.
Certainly. And I think that it's also going to be a great harken back to this conversation, thinking about machine learning, AI, the way that we're modernizing healthcare, and what responsible AI, what responsible technologies look like, being core to the menu there for sure. As we approach these last few minutes in our Twitter spaces, I want to give a chance for reporters who might be in the room. If there are any questions that you have for our speakers, you can feel free to hit the mic button and unmute yourself. Feel free to participate. This is an on-the-record conversation, so definitely just keeping an eye out there as well. And otherwise, seeing no takers, we can continue to also discuss maybe just a quick wrap up from both Ash and Glenn here today. If you had three things to whether it's PE folks or to healthcare and life sciences folks, three things to be looking out for within this current landscape that we're in and the opportunities in the deal market as related, what would you be advising folks to keep an eye out for?
I could jump in. We did focus on innovation and technology, right? And we mentioned that the areas to watch will be behavioral health, telehealth, healthcare, IT, right? But ESG, so we can't leave, right? We can't leave behind the topic of ESG. And really historically, I'd say engagement in the healthcare sector might have been presented as an ESG metric in and of itself. But we can't lose sight of the fact that, health tech is really, really focused on the goal of accessible healthcare and equitable care for hard to reach and disadvantaged communities. So that is certainly a topic that people are focusing on. But in addition, there's the market has been focused on climate. And frankly, I heard a statistic that if healthcare as a whole were a country, it'd be the fifth largest polluter in the world. So I think that that's an area that that will become more of an area of focus, not only for investors, but for consumers as well.
Yeah, Glenn, that was a great point that was made, I know, at the conference. You know, I'd like to kind of leave the three things to think about would be maybe some of the things we didn't get to cover in the session. One is, you know, what do we think about some of the lagging indicators in our industry? So like the med device sector, med supplies. I think that sector is also poised for amazing growth. You know, the expectation is that sector was really kind of following the trends of the resumption of hospital and healthcare volumes. And I think as we start to see that level off this year, that sector will likely become much more active also in the second half. The second point is there's been so much focus, you know, quarter to quarter, month to month on rates and the economy. And, you know, I call it the are we there yet phenomenon. I think we need to start shifting our thinking of, well, what do we do when we get the rates, to settle down? And I think when we start to see that, you know, it's almost going to feel like we're going to have, a rate cut. And I think that's the thing that, you know, our economists are saying is, you know, that when the Fed signal that we're slowing down, that will feel like a boost to the economy. And the real question is going to be, are we prepared and what do we do now? And then finally, the last one I want to kind of also just think about, and so many things with that Glenn brought up and the indications are really about this consumer kind of taking over how we position the industry. And the consumers are going to create different expectations, different investment hypotheses, and more importantly, help us drive different ROIs from the industry that has been predominantly led by reimbursement and government changes. So I think those are the three I'd like to kind of get thinking about. And we need to get much more comfortable with where those opportunities will prevail in the rest of 23 and into 24.
Great. Thank you so much, Ash and Glenn. This has been such a wonderful conversation and a great preview of, you know, the deal conversations that are guiding us through this next quarter, as well as a great preview of the HIMSS conference beginning on April 17th. As we wrap up, I just want to send out a reminder to those folks listening. This conversation was recorded and a replay will be available for those of you who are listening in. And just know that this was an on-the-record conversation. So as you come through this conversation, feel free to leverage anything that was discussed today in your reporting. And thank you so much for joining us. This has been the intersection of healthcare and private equity, areas of growth and opportunity, with Glenn Mincy, our global and U.S. private equity leader, and Ash Shahada, KPMG's national sector leader for healthcare and life sciences. Thank you so much.